Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, in the gospel reading for today, Jesus teaches us what being in Christ is all about. He teaches us what it means to belong to Christ and what it means for us and how this can be even in the first place. All this he does in the context of a farmer tending to his vineyard. The farmer, or the vine dresser, as it's said here, is God the Father. And the vine, which is the main trunk of the plant, well, that is Jesus. And the branches that shoot off from the main branch of the vine, well, that is people like you and me. Now, in this picture, there are only two kinds of branches, not five or six or seven, two. There are branches that aren't producing fruit, and there are branches that are producing fruit. The branches that are not producing fruit, Jesus says, the vine dresser takes away and puts them into a pile to wither and eventually burned. And those branches that do produce fruit, well, the Father prunes in order to produce more fruit. So the picture that Jesus gives is relatively easy to figure out. Those branches who bear fruit, those are people who have a genuine selfless love for their neighbors. They are the branches that the Father tends and prunes in order to have more fruit. And those branches that bear no fruit, well, they are the people who are turned in on themselves and have no love for their neighbors. Those are the branches whom the Father cuts off that will be burned. And that is a picture of God's judgment. This is the teaching of the truth that there is a judgment for sin, and the time will come where what may seem like have no consequences, there will be consequences, Scripture says, in a final judgment on the last day when God is the judge. So that's the picture that Jesus gives us today for understanding that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and that is not terribly difficult to figure out. However, it is the application of this text that might be a little bit more difficult. Because just left there as it is, this text would probably lead us to do some kind of self-evaluation, to do a little fruit checking, and we'd look at ourselves and we would evaluate, is there fruit in my life? Am I one of the ones that the Father is going to prune for more fruit, or am I one of the ones he cuts off and prepares for judgment? Well, that kind of fruit checking never ends well. It doesn't end well for two reasons. Because you either conclude that you're a fruit-bearing branch, or you're not a fruit-bearing branch. So you look at yourself and you say, I bear lots of fruit. I'm loving towards others. I help out. I give money to nonprofits I care about. And this conclusion requires you just to gloss over those less fruitful moments of your life. You know, the times you get a little frustrated or lose your temper, the times that you despise authority rather than see it as a gift from God for your good, or the times that you fantasize about things you haven't been given instead of thanking God for what you have been given. You see, fruit checking can be dangerous business because you often lower your standards in search for more fruit. Well, I'm basically better than other people, as if God expects of us is some kind of a sliding scale. The other way fruit checking doesn't end well is that if you have realistic expectations for God's demands, that you're rather real about this, that in this scenario, there's nothing to be considered fruit at all. Yeah, maybe there's some things you've done for your neighbor, but you know that God requires perfection in thought, word, and deed. So you volunteer to help out, but really you don't want to help out. You're just being polite. Or you were willing at first, but then it's taking too much of your time, and now this person is getting on your nerves. Or the reason you're helping out in the first place is that this person has something you want, and you're more likely to get it if you're nice to them. You see, when you start taking an inventory, you quickly realize that there's no fruit here at all. So that would lead you to conclude, well, maybe I'm one of the ones who will be cut off, prepared for the fire. But the point of this gospel text is not meant that you start looking at yourself. The whole point of this text is that you would look to Christ. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's what the text is all about, that we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us. Not because of us, but because of him. There's something interesting going on in this text that you can't quite see in the English unless your Bible has some good footnotes. That in verse 2, when it says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. In the Greek, that word for prune is literally to clean. That every branch that does bear fruit, he cleans, that it may bear more fruit. Now we can kind of see how this works, because if you prune a plant, you're kind of cleaning it up, so that makes sense. It's not out of the ordinary for the Greek or the English, really. So it's not a bad translation. But look what happens when we get to verse 3. It says, already you are clean because of the word. And it's the same root Greek word. So I would suggest whether we decide to use prune or clean, we should just keep it the same for both verses 2 and 3. So it would sound like this. Every branch that does bear fruit, he cleans, you are already clean. Or you could do it this way. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, you are already pruned. Now this brings something very interesting that gets us away from the business of checking ourselves for fruit. And that is, how is it that you're being pruned when you are already pruned? Or that you're being cleaned when you are already clean? And that, dear saints, is the reality of the Christian life. Because in the Christian life, there is this reality that is done and accomplished and already ours by God's declaration that cannot be denied. And yet, at the same time, there is also a reality that each of us looks nothing like what God demands. What I'm talking about is something that Paul mentions in Romans chapter 7, that as Christians, we at the same time are a new creation, yet with a sinful flesh. That two natures live together and wage war against one another. That the day that we're baptized, we are made new in Christ. That is the moment by God's promise. You are holy. You are perfect. You are righteous. You're forgiven. And if God makes that declaration, then it's true and nothing can change that. It can't be undone. However, there continues to live in us an old sinful Adam that continues to sin, that doesn't love the neighbor, that only lives for the self, that wants to gratify its own passions. So it's true that the moment we're baptized, we're made clean by God's promise, and that's sufficient for our salvation, that our standing before God is based upon this promise, that he would look at us and find no shortcomings whatsoever, because all of this is on the basis of Christ and his work, his death, his resurrection, his perfection. It is imputed, it is credited to us. And God looks at us, he sees us as a perfect child of God. And yet, at the same time, he does some pruning. That as we grow as Christians, we want to be better neighbors, not to earn anything before God, but out of love for those around us. You know, there's more to the fifth commandment than just not killing, but loving. There's more to the second commandment than avoiding the word GD, but that we would put God's name on our lips in prayer. The life of a Christian is living in this tension between what God says of you, that you're perfect, and living in the flesh, that you still fall short. So what is a Christian to do? How is a Christian supposed to live if he finds himself falling short of perfection? And the answer to that is what the entire gospel lesson is all about. Listen again. Every branch that does bear fruit, he cleans, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. That is the entire point of this. The reason you are made initially clean, the reason you are declared righteous from the get-go, is because of the word of God. It's that word of gospel. It's the good news. The gospel message that what Christ has done for lost and condemned sinners like you and me, because of his work, that we are righteous before God, and that his sacrifice is sufficient to cover all of our sins. So when Jesus is nailed to the cross, he's subjecting himself to the wrath of God for your sin, for your off-the-handle moments, for your impure thoughts, for whatever your sins might be. God's wrath for sin is spent on Christ instead of you. And as if that wasn't enough, what's more is that everything Jesus earned, perfection living under the law, Jesus has accomplished and given to you. You get the credit for the perfect life of Jesus. That God sees you as if you have never sinned, because when God sees you, he sees the work of Jesus. You can't get more perfect than that. That perfection, that cleansing by the word, comes by the gospel. But here's the thing you maybe didn't realize. It's by that very same word that he prunes you today. That you are being pruned right now. How can it be if you are already perfect? If you are already clean? Well, you come here week after week because our flesh continues to sin. The Catechism teaches that the old sinful flesh needs to be drowned or put to death by daily contrition. That when we come to church and we hear this word of God, it draws us to repent of our sins, to repent of our failings. And it's by that very same word, the very same gospel, that good news that comforts us and cleanses us and compels us to live in this paradox of a Christian life. This is never done apart from the word. If we cut ourselves off from the word, then we cut ourselves off from Christ. But the point of this passage is that not that you need to examine your fruit. The point of this passage is that as long as we are connected to Christ, then we abide in him. What does it mean to be connected to Christ? It means that we abide in his word. It means that we gather together to hear it preached. It means that we delight to read it at home. It means that we rejoice to come together and study it here at church with our fellow believers in Bible study. It means that we receive this word attached to means, like in the Lord's Supper. In all of these ways, We abide in Christ, and Christ abides in you. And in all of these ways, he's doing his pruning. He's doing his cleansing. Which means in all these ways, he's drawing you to repent and to forgive all of your sins. That you would see every sin of yours to be covered by his blood. And in that, you see eternal life. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.